Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together, have a look at what's going on in the heavens, see how that's reflected on the earth, and generally have a good conversation. And we welcome callers to bring us questions. My name is Mark Waltz. I'm checking in from New York City, and I'm joined tonight by Ann Ortley.
Hi, I'm Ann Ortley down here in Boca Ciega Bay, where it's 71 and clear. I was just out on the balcony looking at the stars. So welcome to Access Astrology. Yay. So kind of a busy week this week, Mark. What have you – and, oh, for our listeners, we let you know Heather was having surgery last week, and Mark talked to her today. So, Mark, give a report on Heather.
She sounds good. She's feeling good, considering, and the surgery was a success, and she's just continuing to recover, but her recovery is going on schedule.
Good. Yay. Yay. So thank you for your prayers and your good wishes, and for those of you who sent Reiki to her, she is moving along on the continuum of health, which is all good. So what did you notice in the heavens? What's catching your eye above us?
It's really a whopper of a week.
Yeah.
What catches my eye especially is that Mars will sextile Jupiter, and it'll sextile Uranus, and then Jupiter and Uranus conjunct. So it's a big, this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction is big, and Mars is activating them. So that will show up strongly. Oh, but before we go too much into that, I often don't have much to say about Mercury retrograde. It doesn't seem to affect me very strongly. But this time it did. Last Tuesday morning. Yeah, this is a real Mercury retrograde story. Tuesday morning, I got a text from my brother saying, just boarded, we'll be on time.
Okay.
I was expecting in the following week, I was expecting him to come to New York. But he had changed the date to the week before. So I get this message. I'm on my way.
And so he arrived, and you were like, well, hi, you're a week early. I love that. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had to change a few things around. Reschedule some things, but it worked out. That's definitely a Mercury retrograde story.
Mercury retrograde in Aries, so your brother arrived sooner. Yeah. Because Aries are always early for everything. Arrived sooner than planned. Yeah,
yep.
Which is very cool. Yep. It's like I'm here, and you're like, wow. Okay, I thought you were next week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There
well,
has been
so
a lot
funny
of rescheduling.
Too because. He texted just when he was boarding, and they were turning off all his phones. And so I get the text, and I try to contact him right back and say, isn't it next week? And it was too late. I couldn't. He's on a plane from Oregon. It's like 5-6 hours in the air. And so I just had to figure, well, it must be right, and go ahead and make changes.
Right. That's funny. So it wasn't an April Fool's text. It was I'm on the way.
No, it was for real. Cool.
How long was he visiting for?
A few days.
Okay.
So that was really good. I haven't seen him since before the pandemic.
Oh, nice. Okay. So that was cool.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. And he hasn't been to your new apartment either, right?
Right.
Yeah. Did he like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark got a lovely, you know, with the pandemic, he's in an art building down in the Fort, like in Times Square district, and a lot of artists left the city during the pandemic, and Mark and his wife were on the wait list, and they cleared the wait list pandemic, and they have a lovely new apartment with a balcony and a bedroom and an elevator and a gym in the basement and a place to park the bike downstairs so he doesn't have to carry it up four flights of stairs anymore. So very cool. So It's a beautiful. I mean, I haven't seen your apartment, but I've been in apartments in that building. It's a beautiful building. Yeah.
Yep.
So. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
So back to
Our astrology, right? But again, Mercury retrograde, and also we had the Hammer of Thor fire this weekend. Mercury has been forming a Hammer of Thor with Juno, in Virgo, which is on a world point, which is our relationships and our partnerships of a Virgo nature, service, relating, and helping, and also Virgo's military, it's civil servants, and then Pallas Athena, who's a strategic person, and so she does the strategic visioning, and she's also a warrior energy. So when we had the first Hammer of Thor, the day before Princess Kate announced she had cancer, and the day after the bridge in Baltimore came down, right? And we all got to see a Hammer of Thor Mercury take out the bridge, right? Very helpful. They had, called Mayday, so they stopped the cars, and the construction workers on the bridge unfortunately died, but could have been bigger. So now we were having one this weekend. So I was all excited because this is the second, because Mercury's retrograde. We're going to have a third one in May. So I was all excited. Okay, what's going to be the Hammer of Thor? And, of course, it was the Iran attack on Israel. And they have that golden shield or whatever they call it, the dome shield or whatever. And, of course, Pallas Athena has a shield. We saw the missiles flying, and they were kind of knocking them out of the sky with the air defense mechanisms. But with the retrograde, the U.S. said to Israel, you go and attack Iran, we're not going to have your back on this. So that's the reversal of what we normally do in our relationship, because Mercury, Juno is Virgo, we normally work with that. So then we're going to have a third one in May, so we'll see what that one is. But I thought it was a really good example of the Hammer of Thor. I was watching TV and they're shooting the missiles down. I watched the American channels and then I thought, I'm going to go to BBC. And then I got to Al Jazeera. So I was like watching everybody, shoot them down. But it was definitely that Hammer of Thor, which now releases. But this week we have all this stuff with the Mars aspecting things, plus Mercury coming to Chiron in Venus. And then we also have the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which starts a new 14-year cycle, and that happens on the 20th of the month. And it happens at the degree of 21 Taurus. Now, Israel is a Taurus country. So it was founded, the flag was taken down at midnight, and Ben Gurion in the afternoon, I believe it was 3:45, banged and said the state of Israel is called into life. So it was born with, it's a Taurus sun, and so that Jupiter-Uranus, because it's ending a cycle that began in December of 2010, so think of what you were doing back then, or the spring of 2011, that cycle in everybody's life is coming to an end, and that was at zero Aries, late Pisces. And now we have a new one in Taurus at 21 Taurus. So this is a big week of change. So talking about it to people? Or what do you notice about it? Yeah.
Toward the end of the week, the sun squares Pluto, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the sun enters Taurus, so it's going to square Pluto. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is not always.
So that
the sun square Pluto. Not a great aspect, yeah. It's a closing square too, so it's a psychological integration square. Is that right? No, it's an opening square. Okay,
it's opening,
so
yeah.
An opening sec. Yeah, it's crisis of action. A lot of stuff going on up there.
Yeah.
So when you see this much going on, what do you say to people about it, Mark?
This is the time to really know your strengths and work with your strengths because it's being tested.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And strength doesn't mean push. It means being centered.
Right.
So don't think that I have to go out there and push people around to show my strength. It's more be centered and know what you can do and what you can't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's got a solidness. Taurus has a solidness to it, right? It's, you know, if you've ever known any little Tauruses, when they're little kids, they're like, they stand there with their legs apart and kind of hold like a bull. They're the sign of the bull, and they kind of, they lower their head, kind of look at you, and they're like, you can't make me, you know. So I always like Taurus as an energy because it is also springtime and things blooming and kind of an expansion of things. So there's a lot of wonderful parts about Taurus, too. But as the sun comes to do an opening square to Pluto in Aquarius, which, remember, earlier this year, Mercury met Pluto, Venus and Mars both met Pluto in Aquarius, but the sun doesn't meet Pluto in Aquarius until next year is the conjunction, next February. And right now, the sun is kind of like, I didn't get to meet you, you know, but we're going to have a fight now, or we're going to have an argument. And so squares always give us a choice, and I, you know, their work. Think of your legs, you know, when you're sitting in a chair, you've got your thighs, and then you've got your ankles and shins. And so, you to stand up, it's a little bit of work on your legs. That's a square. So they're not all inherently bad, but they do require us to take action or require us to sit in that space of should I do this or should I do that, and make a decision. So they're kind of interesting energy. So,
The Taurus energy that we're seeing now, it kind of reminds me of Tai Chi. You know, the kind of centering that goes on with Tai Chi is a circular motion often. It's slow. Mm-hmm. It seems like nothing going on. There's a lot going on. That's what this is about. Especially because the sextile to Jupiter and then sextile to Uranus and then they conjunct each other. If Mars is squaring, it would be a different story. But sextile is much more harmonious.
Right, and much more working, right? So Mars and Pisces is stuff going. Pisces is always a little bit behind the scenes. It would be a lot, I mean, I would be much more worried if it was a square. As a sextile, it's a working energy, and it's a closing sextile because Mars is coming in to meet the Jupiter and Uranus and Taurus. And so closing sextiles often disseminate information or help us take action, but they also, Pisces always reminds us of the consequences of action. And so I find it kind of interesting that, you know, the world's on alert, everybody's watching, they're all saying, okay, you guys, stop it, you know, let's break up the playground fight, and let's be conscious of our choices. And Mars and Pisces suggests, because it does rule all those Aries, fortunately, it also has a lot to do with the water. And so one of the things, you know, that the boat in Baltimore was doing on the Hammer of Thor, it was avoiding the Dead Sea and traveling through the Strait there in the Mediterranean through to India. And it was going to go around South Africa, because of all the attacks on the shipping lanes, which are allegedly sponsored by people that Iran works with, you know, the Houthis, and then, you know, Hamas and Hezbollah, you know, the state-sponsored terrorism people. So that boat had gone and bought a whole bunch of extra food because they were going to take 28 extra days in their shipping to go down around Africa and back up. Before they ran into the bridge. So that also is coming into light, you know, the impact on the shipping lanes and the shipping channels, because if the ships that carry cargo are getting bombed in that part of the area, that's a huge shipping channel that everybody cuts through to avoid having to go around the bottom of Africa. So that was one of the things that they were talking about too, like, you know, the impact because of the waters not being safe. And that's the Mars and Pisces running all those Aries planets. So it was
that's another, I just thought of that as we were talking about it, that the energy is, it's a little bit, it's in the water. It's a little stealth, you know, and, you know, But the good news is it's a sextile. The good news is it's a sextile. And Mars is going to come to Taurus. It goes into Aries soon. And then it got out of Aries. So it's going to, it's going forward and bringing things to the next chapter, which is always helpful, you know. So all good. All good. New direction. So interesting energy, yeah.
So it's a big week.
And as we do, we want to kind of be, you know, conscious of the fact Mercury is retrograde, not going direct until the 25th. And, you know, Mercury's dancing over those nodes of fate, too. And so we're making fated choices. But once he goes direct on the 25th, we have the third hammer. And then we have a really interesting new moon that involves the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Taurus that happens on the 20th. So there's a lot of, you know, that conjunction at 21 starts a 14-year cycle. It's a big cycle. So paying attention to it is helpful. The next one will be in 2037, and that'll be in Cancer, 14 years from now. That'll be my, repeating mine, that'll be my Uranus return. And then the one before this was in 210, right? That was the one in Aries Pisces. The one before that was in 97, and that was in Sagittarius. And the one before that was in 84, and that was in Libra, right? So there's a, you know, this is a big, these are big cycles that are about Jupiter expansion and Uranus change. So, I mean, I know you've been, everybody's been dealing with the rate of change and how much things are changing, even faster. But with the Jupiter-Uranus, I think your point, Mark, about the Taurus is right, that it's going to be very stabilizing, you know, because Taurus is like solid, solid. Yeah. And once Venus gets out of Aries and into Taurus, which isn't just yet, that'll help her calm down too. Right, so she's pretty feisty.
Yeah, she's a little revved up. She's all revved up.
She's like, rah, 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 you know. And Mars is coming in. You know, he's going to go through Aries for 2 months, and then he's going to go through Taurus for about a month and a half before he gets to that Jupiter-Uranus, before he gets to the Uranus and the Taurus. So it's a busy time. We're going to be busy up there. What else do you want to say about the heavens before we take some callers?
Later in the week, Venus conjuncts Chiron, and that's likely to bring up stories with children, stories with siblings. So watch for that, and but maybe unexpected things.
Yeah.
To mention that, you know, Mercury's retrograde, bringing in stuff from the past. So you may be dealing with more information from family than you expect.
Yeah. Which makes a lot of sense, you know, because the eclipse also was the one that we had on April 8th was the sun and moon and Chiron all exact. It's the same degree. And so that kind of brought up a lot of wounding for folks because it was a total eclipse. Pretty cool, but a total eclipse nonetheless. And kind of that directional call in terms of where we're going. So, yeah. So when Venus gets to Chiron, because she's ruling all the Taurus planets, and she's ruling the south node in Libra, she's going to say, so do you want to let that wound go? Do you want to shift it somehow? Remember, because the whole idea of all these planets and ending signs at the last degrees, they're all saying, well, that's a wrap, that's a wrap, that's a wrap. And we have to kind of think about it, you know, what that change will signify, really, so as we wrap things up. Kind of big.
Yep.
And what do you say to people with them being inhibited? Yeah, so it also is wounding around love, too. I see a lot of people having renegotiating relationship dynamics.
Yeah,
or looking at relationship and saying, I need to change it. And your brother, he renegotiated the date of his trip, right? So.
Yeah.
So anything else? Want me to take a caller?
Yeah, we'll take a caller.
Okay, cool.
Hi.
My computer. Hi, 858-736. You're on the air. How are you?
Hi there. I'm good. I'm dealing with all of these, all this that you're discussing. My birthday is November
2nd. I'm not laughing in a mean way. I'm laughing in a happy way. Okay, well, your birthday
is gosh. Sorry, November 2nd, 1967.
Yeah.
At 12:05 p.m. And that's Los Angeles, or Glendale, California.
Okay, and what's your question?
Oh, wow. Is there, looking at my chart, can you just kind of forewarn me about any direction? I feel like it's just, coming at me through a fire hose.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy. Fire hose works for me. You've got Neptune at 20, you've got Neptune at the last degree of Pisces shooting at your Uranus in Virgo, right? At 20, I've got you as November 2, 67, 12:05 in the afternoon. So you're already a Neptune person, sun, moon. You're already an empath. And your Saturn forms, a finger of God with your Jupiter and your Pallas Athena and your Mercury and your Sun. And so that's a big finger. And it's getting a lot of energy sent at it because Neptune right now is hanging out on your Chiron in your second house and shooting energy at Uranus. So it's Uranus rules you. Your Aquarius, partly Aquarius rising, your Capricorn and Aquarius. So, yeah, you're really getting, I think a fire hose is a very apt description. You're also having Pluto in a new sign trining your series. So you're trying to catch the water. Don't catch the water. Just go, it's a fire hose. I can't do anything about it. I can make choices in the moment. And unfortunately, where you normally make good choices, right now your choice picker is a little broken. So that, and by that I mean your chart normally is good at analyzing things, but it's actually causing, because there's so much coming at you, the chart's feeling a little overwhelmed. And that's also because your progressed Sun and Mercury are on your Mars in the 12th. So it's like normally your chart's very good at this stuff, but right now it's just, there's just too much coming at you. So the good news is it does calm down. The bad news is you're in the fire hose till September at least, maybe November. So, Mark, what do you see?
Yeah.
When they strike like that, it's not good news. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. You're just going to have to ride it out.
You know,
all the things that don't make sense to you, just let them don't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like gathering data, right? So you can gather data with this, but don't try and analyze it. Just grab it all and put it in a big pile and write it down, and then meditate and think on it.
And say to yourself, it's not just me. You'll have the feeling that you're the one person that all this is really messing around with. But in fact, if you look around you, you'll see the same thing playing out for other people. And it'll help to be in connection with them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Any.
I mean, you're going to see it. I mean, that's the good part. Mercury's coming to your Mars and your Sun's coming to your Mars. But again, remember, you're always responsible for everybody.
And in this situation, I want you looking at people and going, you know, I don't have the bandwidth to clean that up right now. You're going to have to clean up your own mess. And
right.
and
right.
they can. Yeah. I mean, that's really the what you're trying, what Saturn's trying to teach you is, you really want to clean this stuff up? No. Can you make any difference? No. They made the mess. They have to clean it up themselves. I mean, you can give them some Windex and maybe loan them some paper towels, but you don't have to do it.
Yeah. I love it. I feel like I've got, don't I have Jupiter in my seventh house? And like, I don't know what that means, but I feel like somehow Jupiter is expanding things for me somehow here.
Yeah, but Jupiter is expanding things, and you do have Jupiter in the seventh, and he is starting a new cycle on the bottom of your chart with Uranus. And natally, Jupiter and Uranus, they're in the same sign. They're not joined, but they're in the same sign. So your chart is saying, I get you have a mess. I got to go do my thing. You clean it up. I'll check in on you. And then you go focus on what you want to do. Because the Jupiter-Uranus is down at the bottom of your chart saying, this is all old stuff. You haven't been able to change them the last 10 years, your entire life. Don't even try. Just love them and then go do your own thing. And say, you know, check in with me. I'm curious how it turns out, but I can't fix it. You have to fix it.
Wow, very timely. I said very timely. I have a freshman in college. My son is a freshman in college.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have to let him be him. And my husband has an empty nest, and so he's figuring out his stuff too. And, yeah, this is all very on time.
Yeah, and you have stuff you want to go do, right? So, you know, it's hard because you normally take care of them all with all that Scorpio and you're very solid Capricorn rising, but it's time for you to get a vacation from responsibility. It's never going away. The responsibility isn't going away. It's just you're not responsible anymore. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I feel it.
Yeah.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Any other shiny Mark?
No, I think that pretty well covers, you're going to handle it well, because I think you can keep a sense of humor about giving people the paper towels.
What was the creative thing you wanted to do when you were about 18?
Oh, well, I was acting and modeling and traveling.
Do that. Plan some trips. You know, that energy wants you to come back and do it again.
Oh, wow.
Space to go, like to be in a creative space where you're feeling like, yeah, I remember that, and that was fun. And that 18, that Scorpio moon is transforming. So maybe, you know, you're out in California or your birthplace is California. Sign up for an acting class. Sign up for community theater. You know, go do work. Behind the scenes, you know, if you have a lot of times with charts like this, you have some kind of talent, go and perform at old age homes because your sun and your Mercury is on your Mars in the 12th house, which is places like prisons. I'm not saying go to prison, but go to an old age home or a nursing home or a hospital, you know, like Memorial Sloan Kettering's near me and they have a pianist come in and play in the library, you know, so whatever that creative energy is kind of giving it a birth and getting out in the world.
Oh, I love that.
It's harnessing some of that older stuff. And, you know, because you finished your responsibility, the kid was off to school and you got a lot of stuff you want to do. So your husband being depressed is okay, but you're not, right? So head out in the world.
Do you see that in my chart that he's depressed? Or did I say that?
No, he looks depressed, yeah.
Really?
He looks depressed. You said he was having empty nest syndrome.
Oh,
and
for sure,
so,
yeah. And you can
and
see that in
was,
my...
Yeah, because he's in your chart, right? Your husband and your son are both in your chart, yeah. Up at the top, you know, the son's in college, which is the ninth house, right? But he rules the fifth, which is Mercury.
So your husband's Cancer rising Leo. So the two of them played together. He's lost his playmate by your son going off to school.
Oh,
he doesn't have empty nest. Yeah, he doesn't have empty nest syndrome. He lost his best friend.
Oh my gosh, that is so. He wants to be at this concert. Oh my god.
Yeah,
he's like,
totally.
He's like a. He's fear of missing out. He's missing out. He's no fear. He's totally missing out. He hates it.
Yeah, he does.
This is hard.
It is. Yeah.
Wow.
Not for you. Just go sing in old age homes. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love you.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anything else, Mark? You want to say?
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what
I need
to do.
I need to call you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Hey. Yeah, it's good. All right, so we're going to hang up and mosey on off into the – I'm going to go sit out on Bocasiega Bay and look at the stars. And Mark in Florida here. And Mark, what are you doing?
This feels like the first day of spring up in New York City.
Yeah,
we got into the 70s. So.
Ooh, nice.
Here we go. Mm-hmm.
No, all the trees are blooming in Central Park, too. Yeah. So we'll see you guys all next week, assuming there's not a nuclear holocaust. That was a joke. But just pray for peace and energy for peace. All right, so bye, everybody, and keep Heather in your prayers. She's getting better, and she'll be back with us soon once moving around. Okay, bye, all.